going to take them as a unit. Not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome. And just as an elder shouldn't be controlled by drink, he shouldn't be controlled by money. Likewise, he shouldn't be controlled by his temper or by anger. Remember the issues that we looked about last week of raising hands in anger instead of raising holy hands in prayer. We should be peacemakers. We should be not troublemakers. We shouldn't be the kind of people that they're always on the lookout for an argument. You know, just waiting for an opportunity. If you say something slightly wrong, and they're in there. Leaders, elders, we shouldn't be aggressive. Not bullying people, either physically or verbally. Now, if Paul is addressing a specific situation in the Ephesian church, it does make you wonder, what kind of eldership did they have if he had to write this? Can you imagine the situation where you're too scared to go up to your pastor or your elder because you think you might get thumped? I mean, it's just weird, isn't it? Or, you know, you might get a verbal mauling or something. But Paul slips in a positive here amongst the negatives. He says, not violent, but gentle. Do you know, it reminds me of my pastor at my old church. He wasn't a wimp. He wasn't a pushover. He wasn't weak. He was strong. But yet he was so gentle. He was so gracious. Really reminded me of Jesus. And there will be times when an overseer or pastor, an elder, they need to be strong. They need to say unpopular things. They need to say hard things. They need a backbone. They're not to be pushovers, just pushed over by everyone's particular great idea. They are to be guardians and protectors of the flock and of the truth. These guys have got to be tough. But there should be a gentleness about them. There should be a gentleness about all Christians, shouldn't there? And not always looking for a fight, not given to outbursts of anger or rage, because these things, they can rip our Christian witness to pieces. They can ruin it. We should be gentle, patient and kind and full of grace, like our Saviour, because His peace is within us. But very quickly, lastly, I want to look at an elder's life situation, and that's our final point. And there's three things here. Firstly, he must be able to manage his own family. Secondly, he mustn't be a recent convert. And then thirdly, we've already looked at that, so we won't cover it again, but he needs a good reputation with outsiders. So about his family then. It's not that he has to have children. But Paul's point, if he does have children, he should be able to manage them well. So that doesn't mean that they are perfect little angels. That look like Christians, act like Christians, but aren't Christians. But, you know, it's not that they are perfect little stereotypical Christian children that never put a foot wrong. Actually, the more important part is how he deals with them, how he brings them up. There's a translation issue with the NIV. The NIV says his children should obey him with proper respect. And that's true. We are to honour our father and mother, but actually the emphasis is on the way that he does the managing. The respect part belongs with his conduct. So the new NIV translates it like this. It says he is to do this in a manner worthy of full respect. So of course his children should respect him, but the whole point of this little paragraph here is his ability to manage his own family. That's Paul's point here, because that demonstrates or not his ability to manage the much bigger and harder challenge of managing the church family. And this isn't calling for men to be tyrannical rulers where they cruelly and unlovingly force their children into submission. That's not what this is about. If that's how they manage their family, then you don't want them in the church of God, because that's how they manage the church. This is about a wise dad handling all the different situations and the different life stages of their children, and he does it well. So they fly off the rails. What does the dad do? He does it. He comes to them wisely. He deals with them wisely. That's what he'll face in the church. He'll face all kinds of difficult situations. And sometimes it will call for stern words. Sometimes it will call for just a little prod in the right direction. Sometimes it will call for strong discipline. But notice, Paul thinks involved in managing the church. He says at the end of verse 5, he says, take care of God's church. They're to manage their family. And that looks like in the church family, it's taking care of God's church. It's God's church. We're his children. And the job of the elder is to look after, to lead, to protect, to train, to guide God's children. What a responsibility. He's looking after those God has entrusted to him. And how he manages his family will provide an insight into how he manages God's family. So a man should prove himself with his own family first, and then we can see whether he can be trusted in managing the church family. But lastly, he mustn't be a recent convert. The idea of that's the idea of a freshly planted seedling. So his roots are small and they're not really taking root anymore. So that's the idea. And it's dangerous to push a new believer into the limelight of leadership, whether that be as an elder or into some prominent place in youth work or any other area. If they're new, if they're fresh, if they're like this new seedling, we shouldn't grab them and just throw them into a place of responsibility. Trouble is that brings about pride. Well, that's the danger. They become puffed up with self-importance. They say, wow, I must be so good. I've overtaken everyone else. Aren't I important? Pride is such a danger, even to mature Christians. What's the consequence of that? Well, it's to fall under the same judgment as the devil. The devil who once stood before God, who served before God, and who now has fallen, who now stands against God. Pride goes before a fall. And whatever this specifically means, the same judgment as the devil, doesn't sound very good to me. Doesn't sound very nice. And so we're to protect new Christians. We are to avoid putting them in situations where they are, will be prone to this puffing up pride. We shouldn't give new Christians too much responsibility too quickly. There's much more that could be said on these things, but time, I know, has overtaken us. So let me just finish. Men, do you desire to serve the Lord in this way? Do you desire to serve his church in this way? That is a good thing. It's a good thing. We need godly men. So why not start to make sure your life is characterized by these virtues and avoid some of these vices? Wives, perhaps your husband needs a little encouragement and help in this area. I'm not giving you permission to nag, okay? But using your womanly wisdom, help him be a godly man. Help him. But this isn't just for potential elders, is it, as we've seen? We've seen all these traits should be evident in all of our lives. It requires a deliberate effort to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and to seek the Lord's help as we fight the good fight. So then, let's pray for our elders. We know the devil is out to try and ruin all of believers' lives, isn't he? But especially, as we've seen in verse 7, he takes particular care in trying to ruin an elder or an overseer's life. The bigger the tree, the more damage it does when it falls. So pray for your elders. Pray that we'll be the kind of men who lead in godliness, who are gentle, who are faithful, who are self-controlled. And why should you be bothered? Why should you be concerned about that? It's because it concerns the honor and the glory of our head, Jesus. It concerns the witness of the gospel, the saving gospel. And because the church belongs to God, it's his family, and our leaders are a gift of God to us. They're to lead us They are to lead us unto Jesus. They are to teach us. They are to take care of us. They are to prepare us for works of service and to prepare us to meet the Lord as part of his united bride. That's their work, to prepare us to meet the Lord. And if they are going on well with the Lord, chances are you will be too. Okay, in a moment we will sing a song that helps us respond. It's a song that speaks about surrendering our lives to the Lord. I'm just going to give you a few moments to consider. Are there areas in your life that you need to surrender to the Lord? Are there things that you need to bring to him? So let's be quiet before the Lord, and then the band will lead us.